Welcome to the PIO Podcast, a place for all things public information related for police, fire, EMS, and local government. An open forum to learn, grow, and develop your public information skills. Your host, Robert Tornabene, is a public information officer with over 10 years in the field and 27 years of law enforcement background. In each episode, we will explore different aspects of the public information officer profession. Weekly, we will delve into the field of public information by talking to other PIOs. So sit back and enjoy this episode.
This is episode 25 of the PIO Podcast. Today on the show, we have Karen Morrell from the University of Maryland, Baltimore, and she is the public information officer for the police department at the university. Welcome to the show, Karen.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
So I'm really excited to have you on the show. You contacted us, and we've never had a member from a university public information officer, especially working for the police department, on the show. But you also have a dual role besides being the PIO for the university police department. You're also a emergency management PIO for the university as well.
Right.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so the University of Maryland Baltimore is really fortunate in that we have both a police department and a separate Office of Emergency Management. So a lot of campuses and universities across the country, that's sort of mushed together into one office. But I joined UMB back in 2019 as the first PIO for both of those departments and have really been helping to shape that role over the last 2 years. As a PIO, I do kind of the typical PIO things, right? Media relations, social media, graphic design, website, photography, videography, crisis communications, you know, the things that your audience is very familiar with, but balancing the needs of both police and emergency management so that we're getting out, you know, campus safety tips, but also preparedness information and highlighting the events and trainings that we have. And our police department has a really robust community outreach program. So managing all the public facing communications related to both of those departments.
That's awesome. I don't think that a lot of parents give a whole lot of thought when they send their kids away to school about public safety, other than that they want to know that their campus is safe for their students. So it's really great that you're doing that. So how about your background? What's your background?
No, it's not. I actually started in journalism. I was a TV news producer at WISC-TV out in Madison, Wisconsin. Then I came to WBAL-TV in Baltimore. I'm from Baltimore originally. And then, you know, those overnight shifts are really killer. So I transitioned out of news. And my transition also might be pretty surprising, given that I now work in law enforcement. I went to a classical music conservatory at the Peabody Institute of Johns Hopkins. So going from news to classical music, and then from there, I actually transitioned to public health. I was the public information officer for the Maryland Department of Health and the Office of Preparedness and Response, where I was responsible for all emergency communications for public health emergencies in Maryland. I left in June 2019, so that was really great timing for me before COVID hit. And then I came to UMB. But one of the things I love about communications is that you can apply those skills to so many different areas, right? So whether it's classical music or public health or now law enforcement, it is really cool to be able to apply those skills.
It's always really cool to hear someone that came from the Midwest and has moved out to other bigger and better things. My daughter, who is a digital producer at the rival station in Madison, I am familiar with that other station that is her rival that you worked at. So it's pretty cool that people get starts in these smaller stations and then move on to bigger roles. So your role as a PIO in a university campus is different than it would be for a traditional law enforcement PIO. Can you provide some examples of the differences?
Yeah, so the University of Maryland, Baltimore, we're located in the heart of downtown Baltimore. So a lot of people think of a university police department as maybe just taking care of their campus, but we're a full full-service law enforcement agency. We have concurrent jurisdiction with the Baltimore Police Department, and our department has 60 police officers, 100 security officers, 9 police communication operators, plus our administrative staff. So in terms of the size of an agency, we're really classified as the mid-sized police agency. And UMB is a really unique campus because we're made up of 6 professional schools plus a graduate school. So most of our students are post-grad, so they aren't really undergrad students. We don't have a lot of resident students that a typical undergraduate campus would really have, which makes a really unique communications experience as a PIO, because we're really primarily communicating with our university community, our students, faculty, and staff who are adults. And that also gives us a really unique opportunity to collaborate with our students. We have social work interns that are starting this fall with our police department, and they'll be able to provide resources to vulnerable populations, which is really exciting to be taking that step into community policing above and beyond what we're already doing. And we're also, as a university, bound by the Clery Act, which has specific requirements for how and when we notify our community during an emergency.
So let's talk about the Clery Act. Not many public information officers will be familiar with that act. So go ahead and elaborate on that.
Yeah, so it's actually, the full name of it is the Jean Clery Disclosure of Campus Security Policy and Campus Crime Statistics Act. It's a real mouthful, huh? But in a nutshell, what it really is it's a federal law. It requires all colleges and universities that receive federal financial aid to provide crime stats and their crime policies. So that's the nutshell explanation. There's a lot of specifics about what a Clery crime is and what Clery geography is. So which sidewalk is on our campus, right? Like those little intricacies. But what that really means for us is that we are required and bound by this law to send an emergency notification to our campus if there is an imminent threat. And as a PIO for both police and emergency management, that really comes into play, because it's not just crimes, but it could be a tornado warning or a gas leak or fire. So it's also those emergency management side of what an imminent threat to our campus might be. And as the public information officer, my role is to send out those alerts to all of our campus during that emergency or dangerous situation. And the Clery Act also requires that we would send something called a timely warning, which is if there's a serious or continuing threat. So, for example, that might look like a rash of bicycle thefts on campus, right? Like, we don't need to let people know right away, but we want them to be aware. Or if, you know, there's an assault on our campus, but our officers immediately apprehend the suspect, we might not need that alert because our campus isn't under any kind of imminent danger, but we want people to know that this happened. And we distribute that information as an email from our chief of police out to UMB. And then in addition to all of that, we summarize all of these alerts and everything into an annual report. So if you have a child who's looking to apply to colleges, you can look up any university's Clery report, and it will have all of their policies and their statistics, so you can get a sense of what crime looks like on campus.
I'm assuming, like most college campuses, having an app that most students would be required to utilize for emergencies is imperative. So is that something that you would have to put information out to?
Yeah, so our alerting system, it's called UMB Alerts, it's through Everbridge. And when any student or employee comes to campus, they're automatically opted into the system. So it's actually an opt-out system, which is really important when we're distributing emergency information, that we're not requiring people to go to a website and type in their number or whatever, because we want them to get the information as quickly as possible. So we send alerts via text message, email, campus phone. We can call their cell phone too if they put in that information, as well as our UMB mobile app and our website. Yep. So lots of places.
Excellent. And so you are responsible for getting all that information out. And as a one-person band for the department, how do you handle getting all that information out such as like when you're on a day off or sick time or on vacation?
Robert, what is a vacation?
I know the feeling. Yes, I know the feeling.
You know, that's a great question, though, because redundancy is something that's really important for PIOs. And I'm really fortunate as a part of a university community that we have a University Office of Communication and Public Affairs that is responsible for all communications for the entire university. And so because they have such a deep bench of communications personnel, they can really be an ally in the event that there's an emergency or if I do go on a vacation. And so, for example, you know, our Office of Emergency Management has really taken the lead on COVID, right? They're doing a lot of planning and coordination. I can't possibly handle all of the communications for that. So our communications team has really been a huge asset to help in those situations where the job is just bigger than I can handle, or if I'm out of the office.
And that's always good for everybody to be reminded that they have to have backup. I was certainly one of those at my previous agency in the past where I was always called on vacation days.
I'm one of those. I'm always answering my phone. I can't help it.
So can you tell me, what are the special challenges that a university lifestyle poses for the public information officer as opposed to a community-based PIO?
Let's take a quick break.
When it comes to influencer marketing, there's a podcast that covers it all that you will want to add to your playlist. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. They talk about influencer marketing, social media, the creator economy, social commerce, and much, much more. They cover all aspects, including the creator economy, social commerce, the latest trends, the metaverse, TikTok trends, and that's just the beginning. The Influence Factor by the Influencer Marketing Factory. Add the podcast to your playlist right now.
Yeah, so it's funny because I was thinking about this, and what we actually started talking about before we started recording was the name of the university, right? when you're in the university system of Maryland, you know, we're the University of Maryland, Baltimore. There's also the University of Maryland College Park, which is what most people think of when you hear University of Maryland. And there's the University of Baltimore and the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. So a lot of times one of the challenges is just making sure that we, you know, have the right name. Because Robert, you were at University of Illinois. Got it. Yeah.
But not in Champaign, which is everyone thinks.
Exactly.
I'm at University of Illinois, Chicago Circle Campus. But not everyone says that's U of I, but that's what my certificate says.
Yeah, exactly. But I think there's actually a lot of benefits to being on a university campus. UMB was actually ranked 13th on the Forbes list of America's best large employers this year, which is really cool. And because our officers aren't constantly moving from call to call, you know, we're not completely overwhelmed with calls for service. It gives us the opportunity to be a really progressive and community-oriented police department, not just with our faculty and employee, you know, our faculty, staff, and students, but we also do a lot of engagement in our West Baltimore communities. We have one of only a few PAL programs, Police Athletics and Activities Leagues, on a university campus. We have our police officers go into local schools and do DARE education with students. We have a Comfort Canine program. We're the third university Comfort Canine program in the country. So, you know, there's always a lot of challenges, as you said, the life of a PIO, you can never really turn off your phone, but there's a lot of benefits too.
Outstanding. I love that. All right. So college atmosphere, young people. How do you handle the engagement with apps like TikTok, Instagram, and Snapchat?
Yeah, that can definitely be a challenge. I think one of the nice things about UMB is that our audience is a little older than the undergrad audience of a typical university. But, you know, I'm one person trying to manage five social media accounts, and I think there's a misconception that you can just have the intern do social media, right? But there's so much strategy to social media. It really is a full-time career. And so I just honestly don't have the bandwidth to pick up additional, you know, TikTok and Snapchat platforms. Go ahead.
Okay, understandable. So you have five. Which are the five?
So we have a Facebook, a Twitter, and an Instagram for the police department, which is at PoliceUMB. We have an Instagram for our comfort canine, which is at Officer Lexi. And then our Office of Emergency Management has a Twitter, which is at UMBOEM.
Okay, so you're managing the bulk of what most people are on. I understand that, but when someone ventures into Snapchat and TikTok, I always cringe sometimes because there is so much risk involved in those, and the reward in those might be very narrow, in my opinion.
And you see some government agencies trying to get into TikTok, and some do it really well. Actually, Minnesota government has really great TikTok presence, but a lot of government police agencies that do it are a little bit cringy. So it's like, I'd rather not. I don't, you know, it's, we're just going to keep plugging away and at our Instagram and our Facebook and Twitter accounts and do the best we can with what we've got.
Yeah, I could probably do a whole series on cringe from TikTok and Instagram. There's one Instagram account that I follow. I think it's called TikTok Cringe, that I follow on Instagram, which shows all the risky behavior that cops do on TikTok. Yeah, it's not fun. So can you provide an example of a misconception that new PIOs coming into the field might have, and how, being an experienced PIO, you can help them eliminate that misconception?
Yeah, so my first experience with public information officers was when I was a news producer. And as a producer, if, you know, there's a shooting or a fire or some sort of emergency, I'm looking up that department's PIO and I'm giving them a call, and it's always in an emergency, right? So that misconception that I had was it's all crises all the time, right? If you're a PIO. But the reality is, depending on where you work, because some departments are busier than others, it's probably maybe 5% of your job, right, is the crisis aspect of it. And so much of being a PIO is building those relationships and making plans and getting to know your community so that when that disaster, that crisis moment happens, you're prepared for it. You've built those relationships and people come to you, they know you, they trust you. And so for new PIOs, I would just say, get to know your partners, get to know everybody, right? Not just the people in your jurisdiction, but I was at a training a week or two ago where I met the Annapolis Emergency Management PIO, and that's nowhere close to me. It's about an hour away, but those relationships are so critical. You never know when you're going to cross paths with that person and when those relationships are going to come in handy. And go to lots of trainings. I know that a lot of people talk about FEMA Advanced PIO, which is a great course, but FBI LEDA and like CDC's Crisis and Emergency Risk Communication, there's so many great trainings that span a lot of different organizations. So definitely take them all, as many as you can.
We don't know it all, and in this field, it's constantly evolving. So let's learn from everybody. I agree with that. And lean on others, and you're not the first person to experience what you're experiencing. Somebody might have to give you how I would handle it, or they give you a completely different perspective and you do it in a different way. Yep. But that's the advantage of reaching out and leaning on people.
Yeah, absolutely. And in every training, I feel like even if you know 90% of the material, you're going to pick up a 10% something new or think of it differently. Absolutely.
So Karin, right?
Yep, Karin.
I wanted to make sure I got that right. So let's switch this up some. And answer some rapid fire questions.
Perfect.
Beer, wine, or bourbon?
Wine. Probably red wine, but I'll drink anything.
So, what's a life lesson that you use every day?
It never hurts to ask. I think people are often scared to ask and to advocate for themselves, and especially women, and especially young women. So you're your own best advocate. Ask.
I agree 100% with that one. Great. So what inspires you?
So I'm going to change this to who inspires you. because I've been really fortunate to have some really amazing role models and mentors over the years. At Peabody, my boss was Tiffany Lundquist, and then at the Department of Health, it was Sherry Adams. They were just some really incredible women who always were in my corner and really encouraged me. And even here at UMB, my chiefs, was Chief Carey and now Interim Chief Leone, they understand the importance of a PIO, and that is so critical when you're a public information officer, that your chief understands your role and puts you at the table. So I think they're really inspiring people.
Absolutely. Awesome. What is the best compliment you've ever received?
So in undergrad, I went to Loyola University, Maryland, and I took a course with Mark Bowden, who is the author of Black Hawk Down. And on one of my papers, he wrote that it was the best work a student had ever submitted to him. Yeah, so I chalked that up for a win.
I would frame that one if it was written down somewhere.
He actually wrote me a letter of recommendation as well. So, yeah.
You must have made an impact on him with what you wrote. Okay. So do you have a favorite word?
Yeah, I do. But I think it's going to take you by surprise. So my dad is a statistician. And my favorite word is heteroscedasticity. And I have no idea what it means, but it is so fun to say.
Heteroscedasticity. Yeah. That one I'll have to look up. Oh, I found it.
It's to do with like variability or something, but I just think it's fun to say.
Heterostasticity. That one I'll have to look up. Oh, I found it. Okay, so heterostasticity refers to the circumstances in which the variability of a variable is unequal across a range of values of a second variable that it predicts it.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll leave that one up to the people who deal with equations.
Yeah, exactly. That's outside my realm of expertise.
Yeah, bring that one to somebody at a party and say, spell that. That's got to be fun. So where do you go and what do you do when you have to reset?
Yeah, I think as we're talking about, I'm going to be the first to admit I'm not great at the reset. I tend to be someone who's always attached to my phone. And I think there's a misconception that you always have to have some big, like, go offline to reset and recharge. But something that I'm really working on is having kind of like micro breaks, right? Where you take a little bit of time every day to just enjoy the moment. And finding those tiny breaks throughout the day is what enables me to recharge, rather than saying like, oh, I need to go sit on the beach in the Bahamas for a week or something, because it's just, even if I'm there, you know, I'm going to be posting on social media while I'm doing it. So, yeah, it's important, I think, for other PIOs, especially new ones, to know how to find little moments of joy for themselves throughout the day.
Yes, because they definitely, at that pace in which things come in, they can burn out very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so if you could turn back time and tell your 18-year-old self something, what would you tell her?
It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. When you're in your late teens and early 20s, there's so many options of your path ahead. And I think it can be really scary. And you don't know where it's going to go. When I was 18, I didn't know what a PIO was. But I think just saying, you know, you don't need to worry so much. Like, it's all going to work out. It's going to be okay.
Okay. That's a great way of summing it up. So is there anything else you'd like to share with us today?
Yes. The University Police Department PIO community, it's really small. It's a really niche community, because a lot of university police departments, honestly, they just can't afford a PIO, right? It's a additional duty for some poor sergeant who doesn't want to be a PIO. But we're here for you. There is a little community of these University Police Department PIOs. There's a little Facebook group. It's called UPD Social Media Managers. It's a lot of Midwestern University Police Department PIOs. So we're always looking to grow. If you want to join our little group, I hope you will. It's a really great opportunity to bounce ideas off other people who are in this very specific situation.
And what is the Facebook group name again?
It's called UPD Social Media Managers.
Okay. I will put that in the show notes and let everyone else know.
Awesome. Thank you.
So excellent.
Please. Yeah, please do.
How can people reach out to you or talk to you to connect?
Yeah, Robert, you know what's really funny is that because I manage social media all day, I am not a great social media advocate for myself. It's really hard when, you know, you're spending all day tweeting and posting to then want to do it in your free time. And it's a gap for me. And I'm always so impressed by people who can manage their own social media presence. I know you had Katie Nelson on. She's really great at that. But LinkedIn is a good place to find me. I'd love to connect. So please reach out. I'd love to meet other PIOs, continue to build those relationships that are so important.
And I will add that into the show notes and your LinkedIn as well.
Perfect. Thank you.
As well as to the Facebook group with for people to connect to.
If they'd Great. Like.
So thank you very much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. I'm sure our listeners have gained something from it. Like I said, we never had a PIO on from a university setting, and this is a great opportunity for them to see from a different perspective. And that is the whole reason of doing this podcast, is finding the different niches and connecting people together.
Oh, thanks for having me, Robert. I really appreciate it.
So that was Karen Morrell from the University of Maryland, Baltimore. Thank you for coming on the show, Karen.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you would like to contact the show, please email us at thepiopodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast to get notified of the latest episode. If you are listening on a platform that allows reviews, please give us a review. We appreciate any review, good or bad. It helps us improve on each episode. Until next time, be safe.